Hope everyone is having a good day. I've had an adventurous day. My notes were blown away by the wind. So when Mike comes over and sits next to me, I'm frantically trying to write down new notes based off of what I'd already done before. And so that's why I wasn't critiquing tonight. I was writing down some notes. So having said that, let's begin. I'd like to start with a quote by a man that was not a member of the church, but had some wise sayings, I should say. Most of us have heard this saying. It says, "All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing." The man who said that, or is at least given the credit of saying that, is Edmund Burke. Edmund Burke lived in Great Britain. He was an Irishman. He was an Irish statesman and an economist. And he served on the Parliament at Great Britain from 1766 to 1794. And for those of you in here that remember anything about American history, there's some important stuff that happened in that time frame. Our revolution, our independence. This man did not necessarily believe that the colonies should have complete freedom from Great Britain, but he did not condone the way Great Britain was treating the colonies with their taxes and other rulings, tyrannical, Tyrannosaurus Rex, tyrannical type laws. So, he has faults, right? Because we don't want to be under Great Britain. But he still believed that they should be, just not but treated fairly. That is admirable. One thing, though, that stood out to me when I was reading about his profile is that he saw the importance, and according to Wikipedia and other encyclopedias, they say religious institutions. But we know at this time, Great Britain was very much a Christian, quote-unquote Christian nation, and this man was actually a devout Catholic. He saw the importance of the church, Christianity, some form of Christianity, and its influence on the government body and how it would help stabilize moral decisions in the government. And so, this man probably had a lot of influence on what we call our founding fathers. He was a politician. He was in political atmosphere. They saw some of the good things that he probably stood for. And they realized that in order to be a good nation, you needed to be good, biblically good. And sometimes that means that we can't let evil continue. Jesus commands us to be good. That's in Luke chapter 6, verse 25. We then also read in the book of Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, that we are to do good unto all men, especially of the household of faith. But all men is in there. Be good to all men. This is an apostle inspired telling us to be good. Right? To be good. So it is a command from Jesus. It's echoed later after Jesus has already died and been raised by one of his inspired apostles. We are to be good. And by being good, that means we have to do something. Do something. The parable of the talents, we're very familiar with that. Did everyone just do magnificently with their gift given by the master? I wouldn't say magnificent by any means, but they were profitable except for one. And that's the one that got rebuked, right? Because he did nothing. The master wouldn't have given him that talent if he didn't think he was good, right? Jesus also rebukes the church in Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, because they were lukewarm. They were lukewarm. They're just status quoing. They were neither hot nor cold. He said, "I'd rather you be one or the other, honestly, because I'm going to spew you out." But then it continues and says, "You think that you're rich and that you're in need of nothing. Look at America right now. We are the wealthiest country in the whole world. And you can watch our deterioration as we grow in wealth. You know, it's a domino. Just keeps knocking over the next one. But in reality, Jesus says that you are wretched, poor, miserable, and blind. And blind. Blinded by what? The riches. That I don't need anything because look at me. Okay? They were lukewarm, doing nothing. We read about the cursed fig tree in Matthew chapter 21, verse 19. And how Jesus curses the fig tree for not producing any fruit. And then we see, prior to that, we actually see John the Baptist saying the axe is going to the root of the trees that do not produce fruit. This is right after he baptized Christ. And he sees these Pharisees and Sadducees coming in. And he puts them down right then and there and says, they're fruitless. That's basically what he's saying. Y'all are fruitless. The axe is going to come after y'all, right at your root. But then Jesus echoes this same thing in John chapter 15, verse 2. That the tree that's unfruitful will be taken away. And the tree that is good and produces will be pruned and encouraged to keep growing, right? So here's the questions that I want to propose in this time of devotional. What if Noah didn't preach during his building of the ark? Do you think his kiddos would have been on that ark with him? My assumption is no, but again, that's an assumption. What if Reuben had done something for Joseph? Would have been a completely different experience for Joseph. God still would have taken care of Joseph, and in turn still taken care of Abraham and the other brothers. But it would have been drastically easier, I would think, for Joseph. No prison time. What if Joseph, when it was brought to Pharaoh's attention that he could interpret dreams, said, no, y'all do you. That's your thing. Y'all are the government. I'm just a guy trying to do God's will. I'm going to leave it to you guys. That's what we do right now in the church. We let the government just do what it's doing sometimes, rather than putting our foot down saying, no, sir. Okay? What if Joseph hadn't interpreted those dreams? Where would his brothers have been then when it was famine time? Right? These are all assumptions. These are all thoughts that no one knows an answer to. But we have to think about these things. What if Paul hadn't corrected Peter? What if Paul hadn't done it? We know later on that Peter actually says, that's my brother there. After he was rebuked, that's my brother there. Talking about Paul. Peter admonished Paul for doing that. They were closer now because he did that. So now think about yourself. Let's get out of the Bible for a moment, the biblical figures, and let's think about our own lives here. In 30 years, 20 years, we'll say in 20 years, when our children and grandchildren are now approaching their 30s, and they may have children themselves, will America be in a worse situation than right now? I don't know. But if we don't do something, the probability is very high that it will. And what if they said, Dad, why didn't you do something? Why did you let it get this bad? You were an adult the whole time I was a kid. The laws are there to protect us from this, and you did nothing. Grandpa, why didn't you do something? Right? Why didn't you do something? You claim to be good. You claim to be a Christian and you did nothing. You just let immorality go rampant through our country. And now look at us. We can't even worship God anymore without hiding. That could be the real future. Right? We just got shut down for a long time. Can't meet. California was really rough on their Christians. And all those Californians are moving here to Texas. Okay? That's a secular thing. That's the government. But what about when the end of days is here? When the end of days is here, will your family and your friends say on the judgment day, "Chad, why didn't you tell me more? Why didn't you just mention church services at least once? Why didn't you do this? Now look at me. They'll say, "Look at me," right? And you'll have to look at them and know that maybe you something. Even if you failed, you did nothing, right? But at least you tried. And now think about when God gets to you. He says, "All you had to do was what I told you to do. That's it. And you did nothing. Men held you up as good and you still did nothing." You did nothing with the good that men held you up to. You did nothing. You didn't obey my will. You did nothing. It's a scary thought. It really is a scary thought. But we live in this world. We have to be a shining light for this world. We can't sit around and be good in our own bubble. Okay? We got to be good outside our bubble. We got to do something. If you're here tonight and you haven't done the thing that God has told us to do, to be added to His church, according to Acts chapter 2, we encourage you to do that. You have to hear and believe the gospel, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. You have to repent, change your life because of that belief. You realize, I am in a bad situation. If you're in a bad situation, why do you keep going towards it? That's why I ask every Californian that comes here to Texas and still votes like California. You have something bad. Why are you bringing it with you? Change your life. That's called repenting. Your belief has now encouraged you very strongly to repent. That's in Acts chapter 17, verse 30. You have to repent. You can't live the same life. Even if you believe, you can't live the same life. Then in Matthew chapter 10, we read that we need to confess our Lord Jesus Christ, that He is our Savior, and we must do it before men, and He will confess us before His Father. And then we must be baptized, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. If you came to the realization tonight that you need to do something, you see the error of your own ways, you see the error of other people's ways that you've been following, now's a good time. Now's a great time. But maybe there's someone here that did do this already. You have been added to the church. God sees you as a son or daughter right now. But just like every son and daughter, sometimes we disappoint our parents, right? We make decisions that aren't exactly right. Maybe we need to do something good and get back in the light. We would love to help you with that if it's something that you need help with. If any of these two things are something that you need the prayers, the help of this congregation, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing this invitation song.